This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
My name is Carissa Chu, and it's a pleasure to be here to talk about surgery for the management of prostate cancer. I want to thank all of you for being here and your loved ones. You're the reason we come to work every day, and all the good questions come from you. What's important to you is important to us, so thank you for being here. So today I'm just going to give a review, an overview of radical prostatectomy, how it's done, what to expect. There may be some of you in the audience here who are trying to make some of those decisions right now. And then to spend some time talking about how we're innovating here at UCSF, both in the operating room and outside of it. So in 2026, all prostatectomies are essentially done this way using the robot. I find it important also to say that in the age of AI and autonomous cars, we're actually in control of the robot, so it's not operating by itself, although sometimes I think that might be nice. But there's a console, it's in the room, surgeon sits at the console. We have, the robot gets docked minimally invasively. Each arm goes in and does the surgery under our control. The advantage of robotic surgery is we can get the camera right down to where we need it to go. The prostate's in a very deep part of the pelvis. Margin rate and outcomes after surgery are improved with this particular approach. And so what the robot allows us to do is have wristed movements. So your instrument inside the patient is just like your hand, and it can move and replicate the motions of your hand and all the degrees of motion, maybe even more than sometimes what's natural. In the past, we did open prostatectomy. That's sort of the history now. And these are the incisions you might expect on the right after radical prostatectomy, multiple small incisions, again, where the instruments go through, a slightly larger one above the belly button where the specimen comes out. This is the anatomy. So this is on the left, we have somebody in profile. So the kidneys make urine, gets carried down to the bladder in two tubes called the ureters. And the bladder stores the urine, and when you urinate, the urine goes through the prostate, which sits at the base of the bladder like a donut, out through the urethra, and that's how urination occurs. With prostatectomy, the prostate is removed entirely, seminal vesicles which are attached to it, and the bladder is reconnected to the urethra and sewn together. Okay, that's called an anastomosis. There's a catheter in place that allows that anastomosis to heal. It takes about 7 to 10 days, okay? Now, the bladder and the prostate and the urethra, it's not a hot air balloon. So if you look at the anatomic picture to the right, this is from our, anatomy textbook, Netter's textbook, you can see there's actually a natural kink in the urethra where the bladder meets the prostate meets the urethra. There's an actual kink there. And that mechanism is very important for urinary continence. So for us, where we've had a lot of change in the past 10 to 15 years, and where we've been able to achieve a lot of our long-term urinary outcomes of excellent urinary control, is about trying to reconstruct those anatomic relationships. You can do a combined anterior-posterior reconstruction of the anastomosis. You can do dorsal hood sparing. You can do retzia sparing. All of us here who operate on prostate for prostate cancer do some combination of those techniques. Expectations. We have patients seen for prehabilitation now prior to surgery, that's meeting with pelvic physical therapy, that's talking about sexual function, expectations after surgery, recovery of urinary control and sexual function. We had a great session this morning about that. You know, these concerns, these quality of life issues are front and center for us. And a lot of the techniques we've done in the operating room help get us to early continence faster. So most men are dry at 1 year at 95%. Some of these reconstructions that we're doing are allowing men to get there earlier, and I think that's actually important. Time without diapers, without pads is important. Surgery, we get final pathological staging. So prostate comes out, you can look at the margin, you can look at the actual volume of cancer, the Gleason grading, and that's prognostic. That tells us how a man might do after surgery. And the goal really here is to achieve an undetectable postoperative PSA. So where are we pushing the envelope here at UCSF? So there's as we discussed in the active surveillance session, here's the distribution of prostate cancer risk. And this gets at who's eligible for radical prostatectomy. In 2026, there are men with intermediate or high-risk disease. Here we use the CAPRA score. And so you can see in red and in turquoise, those are patients with intermediate and high-risk disease. And those are the patients we're operating now at UCSF. Okay. Across the bottom, each bar is a different year. And so more contemporary series, you can see we're really operating less and less on low-risk disease. We know, despite innovations in current surgical technique, the positive margin rate still is around 20-30%. A lot of that is sort of dictated by, baseline, kind of the, how severe the disease is if it's extending past the capsule. So to try to improve that, move the needle on that, there's a clinical trial that's been opened here at UCSF. We'll be opening the phase 3 very soon in the summer using IS-002. So think of this as something that can help the prostate cancer glow in the dark when we're operating on it in the operating room. Okay, so patients come in the day before surgery, they get an infusion of what we call a fluorophore, okay, and at the time of surgery the following day, you switch on the light, you switch it to a different wavelength of light, and it excites this fluorophore, so now you can see it in the operating room, okay. Here's an actual example of a patient that Dr. Carroll operated on here at UCSF, where you can see he's flipped on that firefly mode, and at the back of the prostate there, as he's detached it, flipping it over, you can see where the cancer is, right to the edge. And so we'll be opening a trial here very soon, really seeing if we can improve margin rates with cancer surgery with this technology. This is a study that's led by Dr. Carroll and Dr. Nguyen in the department. Here's an example of a positive lymph node at the time of surgery that was, again, identified with this glow-in-the-dark technology. The next area where we're really trying to move the needle is reducing cancer burden prior to surgery. This is a tall order, and this has been something that's been tried for many, many years in our field. As I mentioned before, we're operating on higher-risk disease. As a result, we know that about a third of men can recur after surgery, okay, even with a negative margin. And this recurrence is heterogeneous, okay? And so right now, the standard of care after recurrence is usually some combination of radiation and hormone therapy. Radical prostatectomy is still standard of care for high-risk disease. And we have a number of different trials open here at UCSF now looking at whether or not we can help, we can try to shrink the tumor and improve our outcomes after surgery in terms of cancer control. We're really early on this. So, basically the trials that are open right now are really looking at safety, feasibility, and what the tumor effects of these agents are, okay? So we want to demonstrate that we're seeing tumor killing before we open up a larger study to see that, to try to get patients better margins, better cancer outcomes. This is Dr. Dave Oh. He's in the cancer immunology program, a close colleague and collaborator of mine. He's looking at two forms of immunotherapy given in one or two cycles prior to prostatectomy to see whether or not this immunotherapy has impact on the prostate cancer at the time of surgery. This is Dr. Ivan Dekuchovsky, also a colleague in medical oncology. He has a trial open looking at 12 weeks of hormone therapy using Zytiga or abiraterone prior to prostatectomy. This is using an imaging correlate called hypopolarized MRI. Some of you in the audience may have had participated in this trial, showing that the metabolism of the prostate cancer does change with hormone therapy, and that may contribute to actual improved cancer control outcomes long term. Finally, we have radioligand therapy, and this is a very exciting trial. The drug really kind of championed and pioneered here at UCSF. This is Tom Hope. He's sort of one of the leaders in the around the world on PSMA technology, imaging, and treatment. PSMA stands for the prostate-specific membrane antigen. It's a protein that's expressed on the surface of prostate cancer only. And what this trial does is using an agent that we use in metastatic cancer already, okay, Pluvicto. There's also another form of it using a different radioisotope, but it's conjugated to an antibody that binds to this protein on prostate cancer. So it delivers, it's like intravenous radiation. It delivers a single particle of radiation directly to the cancer cell and causes cancer death that way. All right, so we have a trial open right now looking at one cycle, soon to be two cycles, of either one of these agents targeting PSMA protein on prostate cancer prior to prostatectomy. So in summary, robotic surgery, I think, is precise, minimally invasive. Intraoperative imaging can help sharpen technique further. Neoadjuvant trials are an opportunity to improve cure rates and provide biological insights. So with that, thank you very much.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.